This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
When police receive a cyber tip indicating that somebody in their local community is involved in depraved sex crimes, they set about immediately investigating the case. And it doesn't take them long to discover to their horror that the perpetrator is one of their own. Dennis Perkins works as a deputy in the sheriff's office. So as detectives start to delve deeper into this predator's sick world, another stomach-churning detail is discovered. He isn't acting alone. In fact, he has another very willing participant in this horrific abuse, his wife, who just happens to be a teacher, with a classroom full of potential victims at her fingertips. These are the disgusting and unforgivable crimes of Dennis and Cynthia Perkins. I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today's case is one that is stomach-churning. I cover child abuse because, with respect, it's something I worked in for a long time. And when you look at people who get themselves into positions of power just so that they can use that power to destroy lives, it's something that really tells a story about the mindset of these kind of predators, because it isn't just about sex, it isn't just about abuse, it is about having power over other people. And when you think about the police force, you think about teachers, these are individuals with that power. And we are talking about the biggest detraction from the way a human being should act in these circumstances when we consider Dennis and Cynthia Perkins. So let's talk about this case. Dennis Perkins was somebody who was really well respected, at least on the surface. So he worked for 17 years as a deputy in the sheriff's office of Livingston Parish. That's outside Louisiana's capital of Baton Rouge. Interestingly enough, I've actually stayed in Baton Rouge. I was there for 3 weeks when I was a younger person travelling, and it's an interesting place to go to. Also quite close to New Orleans. And let me tell you, the Guinness in New Orleans was delicious, and I don't even like Guinness. Anyway, I digress. The point is, unusually, I can comment on Baton Rouge because I have been there. One of the incidents that happened whilst I was there, I'm not a drinker and a driver. I've never even got into a car and so much as moved my vehicle after having any alcohol. It's just something I don't do. Everyone has their own mindset around that and their own choices to make. But I did have a friend when I was out in Baton Rouge, and he was so drunk that he fell asleep at the wheel. And the police officer who pulled over just told him to sleep it off for a few hours in the car before moving the vehicle. It's a different experience than we would deal with in the UK. You just get hauled off. I'm not saying that that's the way things are now. I'm just saying that in certain places, it feels like the rigor and rules aren't necessarily as tight around these kind of behaviours as they are in other places. And that's my experience of Baton Rouge. Lovely place. Had quite a nice few nights out there. Great people. But like I said, wasn't the stringent level of policing I'd have imagined when that particular event occurred. But anyway, he's a high-ranking deputy, and he was the actual commander of the special tactical team. So a really good job. And he'd been with the police force since 2002. So a really embedded career. He was married to a woman called Cynthia Perkins. She was a school teacher. And Cynthia's background in the school system in Livingston Parish Schools dates, again, far back. So from 2009, she worked as a substitute teacher. Then in 2012, she worked at Live Oak Middle School. Then from 2013 to 15, she actually transferred to North Live Oak Elementary. And then from 2016 to her arrest in 2019, in the October of that year, she taught English language arts at Westside Junior High School. So she did move around quite a lot. That's always something when it comes down to teaching that surprises me, really, because a lot of teachers will go into a job and they'll remain in that job for a very long period of time. But she does have quite a level of transience. Sometimes when people are transient, it's just because they're going on that career ladder, they're finding better opportunities, new opportunities, exciting opportunities to achieve. But it can give you a little bit of insight into somebody that maybe has got some issues, and therefore it destabilizes their position and they move on. It's a great disguise for failure moving on, because you can pretend that you're left of your own volition and your new employees aren't thinking that there's anything untoward about your behavior. I'm just throwing that in as a possibility. Now, the couple live together in Baton Rouge. This is actually a suburb of Denham Springs. And like I said, somewhere I've actually been. I will say there haven't been a lot of details revealed about the pair's children. So before I go into this case, there's not loads of information of those, but that'll be because of a protective mechanism. Clearly, if they may have been abused themselves, they're not going to want to identify these individuals. They want to give them as much anonymity as possible. You don't want children feeling that their experiences are a blight on who they are, and that everybody has an idea of what they've been through before they even meet them. It's understandable that we protect children in this way. It does seem that Cynthia had a child from a previous marriage. So she's somebody who has had a long-term relationship before, but ultimately that relationship broke down. And essentially that meant that she moved on to the relationship that we're going to talk about today. I will also note at this point that Dennis Perkins had had a previous relationship. He was apparently an absolute nightmare as an ex. He was somebody who was very domineering, very abusive, somebody that you genuinely would not want to be around. None of this is going to excuse what we see play out with Cynthia, but nonetheless, I think it's important to highlight that we're dealing with an out-and-out abuser from the get-go where Dennis is concerned. Now, there's a tip that's handed over from the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children. At this point, the Perkins couple begin to fall under scrutiny. So I'm going to go through how this plays out. On the 23rd of September 2019, the Louisiana Bureau of Investigation Cybercrime Unit received...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
A cyber tip report. This was a tip that was sent from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And it's harrowing. So this report contains information regarding possible distribution of images of sexual abuse and the IP address that was associated with uploading some of the material that was able to be traced back to the home of the Perkins couple in Denham Springs. So immediately they are faced as an investigation with the reality that they're dealing with one of their own. When it's somebody who works in the forces, it's a double blow. To know that children are being sexually molested and violated is a horrific thing. We know that there are people who work in these agencies tirelessly to bring perpetrators to justice. And the expectation is always going to have this bias that the kind of people who are doing these things are not those who follow the law, are not those who embody the law. And yet here we are, where Perkins is essentially the face of the law. And he is being investigated for these heinous crimes. And not only that, that he is with a partner who is also considered an upstanding member of the public, a teacher. So That will be something that's deeply hard to swallow for the authorities, because it also surfaces a lot of extra additional issues. People want to know, how on earth does this human being get hired when they've got this predatory nature, and so on and so forth. So it's a headache on lots of levels, as well as being a heinous crime. Now, the initial returns for search warrants for Dennis Perkins did provide agents with images of child pornography. They got videos of voyeurism of children. They got images of Dennis Perkins. And I kid you not, guys, even saying this sentence just is disgusting. Literally, he was ejaculating on pastries, and he had images of himself exposing his penis in public places. So there is a whole heap of grotesque footage and pictures that clearly demonstrate how depraved this human being is, and also how guilty he is. Let's just put it out there. This is somebody who has had the good sense, as far as he's concerned, to actually capture himself committing crimes. But this also lends itself and speaks to the mindset of these kind of predators. Bear that in mind. There is an arrogant superiority and I am above the law type of attitude where these predators are concerned. When you have a mindset of power, when you truly believe that the way that you see the world is the correct way, when you like to feel that you are superior to other people and you don't have to follow the order and the laws that others do, it means that you are open to vulnerability. It's a chink in your armor, essentially. The narcissism that comes with this kind of mindset often means that they trip themselves up. And Dennis is taking pictures of himself and taking footage of himself, and that automatically is an ABC of guilt. It's as simple as that. But like I said, because he has this powerful mindset where he believes he's so much more important than everybody else, he wouldn't for one minute think that anybody was clever enough to actually know that this is the kind of predator he is and to investigate him for these crimes. So agents now can get a warrant. So they want to arrest Dennis Perkins. They want to search his home as well. So they got a search warrant for his home because he is genuinely bang to rights. There's absolutely no way he's ever going to get away with it. He's literally documented it for him. In fact, it is the perfect evidence that can be brought into a court of law, and there is no way that you're going to escape it. Which, even though it's terrible what we're talking about and it's hideous that he's got this kind of information and he's stored all this footage, etc., it's brilliant when you are the prosecutor. Let's be clear. If this guy's going to go not guilty, it's going to be the worst thing he ever chooses to do. And if he goes guilty, well, there's evidence when making a judgment about what he deserves as to the length of time he should receive. So it's a good thing, even though it comes from a terrible place, that this information is available. We get to the 22nd of October 2019. This is when Dennis Perkins and Cynthia Perkins are actually arrested. The police actually intercept Dennis whilst he's on a fishing camp in Toledo Bend. It's just about 4 hours away from his home. And they call him. So they let him know that they're coming, essentially. So he actually meets them. This is where he's read his rights. He agrees to answer questions. And it's at this point that the innocent Dennis tells police that he's so innocent, he's thrown his mobile phone into the water upon seeing the police. Sorry? Yeah, I threw my phone in the water. Why? Because I felt like I didn't want anyone looking at my phone. But why would you feel that there's any reason for us not to look at your phone if you're innocent? Because there are pictures of my wife who's naked in them. Why would you want to look at pictures of your wife naked? She's really good looking. That still doesn't make any sense to us. Why would you throw it into the water? Because I didn't want my privacy violated. You do realise that this isn't going to look good for you. I am trying to escape any justice and I'm thinking this is the way forward. Was it a personal phone? No, it was actually my police phone. So you threw police property into the water, literally police property where you're doing your job and it has important data from your policing activities into the water. Now you come to say that, it's not seeming like it was probably the best idea of an innocent man to do such a thing, particularly a police officer. Shall we just throw you into the water? Sorry, Emma, don't, you can't throw him into the water again. You're going down the complete fantasy route. Sorry, bringing it back to reality. The point is, that's his argument. Yeah, I did throw the mobile, even though it's police property, which would be a sackable offence, into the water, but I didn't, you know, do it for any other reason than I didn't want my wife to be seen in a compromising situation. So I thought it was better to throw my whole career away in the same moment as my phone. And again, instantly, anybody with more than 2 days' experience on the forces knows that he is without doubt guilty because of this action. He does try, shall we say, to act shocked when he's told that the actual police have all this evidence against him. And I suppose that some of that will be because genuinely he's thinking, gee, these guys have actually got this information. I don't really know where to go. And when you act shocked and surprised, firstly, it gives you a pause. It means that you have an opportunity to kind of regroup. Oh, I'm just going to be like, oh my goodness, really? And I'm not thinking about how to answer the question. I'm thinking about deflecting the way it's feeling in that moment. But the other side of it is, oh my goodness, I'm shocked. It can't be me. So you're also in some circumstances protesting the fact that you're guilty in that moment. So either way, that's why he's acting in this situation, to either give himself some time or to pretend that he really is in a scenario where he can't believe that this is coming out because he had nothing to do with it. Now, when the police tell him this was a tip from the Centre for Missing and Exploited Children that had cracked the case open, you would think that in the moment that he realises, oh, this is serious, this is a professional tip, this isn't something that's just been suggested as hearsay or somebody's rang in some kind of suspicious activity. This is actually the Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, and that's why I'm in this situation. That maybe he'd be like, you know what? I admit it. Seems like you've got all the footage, all the pictures, and the tips come from a really credible source. But no, he's just like, I'm really surprised, and says things like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. Again, deflection, taking time. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. What are you trying to wrap your head around, Dennis? Well, I'm trying to wrap my head around how I'm going to come up with an excuse that means that I can somehow seem innocent. It's not going to happen though, is it? Because wrapping your head around this, you can't. It's literally pictures and video that you took. Wrap your head around that. It's literally your documentation. You did it. You don't need to wrap your head around it. You just need to acknowledge you did it. But obviously Dennis hasn't got the memo on this at this moment in time.
Obviously you've had, I'm guessing you've had a couple of drinks if you're on a fishing trip today.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say you're drunk at this point, or you're in your right state of mind and understand what's going on? As much as can be at this point?
Sure.
Okay. That being said, I'm just going to go over some rights with you. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to have an attorney present during any questioning. You have the right to stop. So you can't afford an attorney, one will provide it for you. And if you decide to answer a question now, you have the right to stop questioning any time to seek the advice of an attorney. You understand those rights?
Sure.
Okay. If you're willing to speak with me, just take a look at this paragraph. That simply says you understand what your rights are and that you're willing to speak with me and kind of figure out what's going on today. And we'll go from there, and I can kind of give you some more details as to what's happening.
So I got to sign up for you to tell me what's going on?
I mean, I can tell you, like I said, it's in reference to some online behavior. What I do with the Attorney General's office is basically internet computer-based investigations.
Okay.
What that entails is primarily basically crimes against children, conversations online, images, videos, things like that.
Okay.
Your name came across in an investigation we were conducting, so I kind of want to sit down and talk to you today about more about that investigation. But I really can't get into any questioning part of it until you at least tell me you understand your rights. You don't have to sign anything if you're not comfortable signing it?
No, I get that, man. I do understand what my rights are.
Okay. Then let's do this. What I can tell you is that we received a tip from, are you familiar with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC? Okay, they're kind of the 911 for the internet.
Okay.
So when anything goes across the internet, let's say, for instance, Yahoo. If Yahoo, somebody's chatting through Yahoo and something inappropriate gets reported, they're the ones who take that and file it down to law enforcement.
Okay.
So we received a tip from them, which was in reference to an email account.
Okay.
Do you have any email accounts? I'm assuming you do. Do you know what your email account is offhand?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, would you mind telling me what it is?
I'm scared to answer any questions right now, man.
I can't make you answer any questions.
But I know that.
What I can tell you is that you know as well as I do, and from what I'm understanding, you're relatively tech savvy. Meaning you understand somewhat about computers and how they work a little bit. And the reality of my investigation is it's black and white. It's digital evidence. Was either there or it's not there. And what I don't want to happen at the end of the day is for me to only have to be able to rely on digital evidence. I want to have a conversation to see if we can explain some of the scenarios.
And I understand that too, man. Trust me, I do. I'm not trying to be a horse's ass.
You're not, and I get that.
I'm just so... This is very strange.
Anyway, so like I said, I'd like to kind of get to the bottom of some things that were going on if you're willing to talk to me. And that starts off with basically me understanding what accounts you do have and what accounts you don't have. So, like I said, there's been some of the accounts that we're talking about had your name on it, and that's why I'm trying to figure out if these are accounts that you control, if they're not accounts that you control, or if you just made a dumb mistake and we need to figure out what's going on. I mean, shit happens. We all, good dudes
what
make bad mistakes.
What mistake are they talking about? That's
what I'm dealing with is things like child pornography, things like inappropriate conversations online. Like I said, that's primarily what I handle, is anything dealing with online child exploitation. So that's basically what our conversation would be about, is some things that have occurred. And I can tell you that some search warrants are already done to some social media accounts and things like that.
Okay.
So I've already seen some things. I'm just trying to fill in some gaps on how we got to this point. See if I can kind of come up with some explanations that puts a human face on what my investigation looks like.
He also, as I said, tells the police in the interrogation that he ditched his phone because it had these new pictures of his wife, didn't want them to see. But after that, he discloses, shall we say, very little. So, you know, as he starts to realise that, well, it's not going to be quite as simple. You know, the guys aren't going to just believe me. Because you can put this in the mindset of a predator who's also a control freak, who's also got a level of power in the local community, and he's got connections in the police because he works in that situation. You can imagine that there may have been times in the past where he's got away with things that he shouldn't have got away with just because he's got notable connections. But now he's realising that's not going to happen. There's no way I'm going to get away with this. They're not going to just believe that I threw the work's phone away because of naked pictures of my wife. They've got the actual data they need to convict me. So he can't talk his way out of this. And no one's going to give him any leverage. No one's coming to his rescue in this situation. It's above their pay grade now. There are individuals who are specialised in the field of child abuse and they are coming for him no matter who he knows. So at this point, he clams up. And he does the classic, he says, I need to speak to a lawyer. He's actually hurt saying, I'm just worried about my wife and kids, man. Really? I don't think you are though, Dennis, are you? We're just going to all have a moment to think about what you're really worried about. And I don't think it's your wife. And I certainly don't think it's your kids, man. I think it's yourself. I think it's your great big flappy appendage of a human being self. Now, Dennis at this point is informed that he's already been fired from Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. They're all like, he's fired. We're just gonna, look at us. We're just washing our hands. We're just washing our hands of him. We don't know him. We don't like him. We've never done him any favours in the past. We don't want anything. Who's Dennis? Who? We don't know Dennis. There's no Dennis here. No, no, no. There's no man with a name, Dennis, who has ever been, well, okay, yes, we did employ him, but he's not, he doesn't exist. He's gone. He's gone. He's been vaporised. He's gone. Is a child abusing pervert. We want nothing to do with him. I imagine that was going on. Now, at the same time that he's been arrested and is being interrogated, his home in Denham Spring is being searched because they want to check whether there is any further incriminating information there. And boy, there is a whole heap of it. So there's some really disturbing stuff they find. So investigators find two hidden cameras. One is found inside a soap dispenser in the guest shower. Now, I think we can all agree home security is something that most of us consider a must these days. I cannot tell you about the amount of times I get a little Hive notification at home and it tells me that my DHL package has arrived. It's disturbing the amount of DHL packages that do arrive at my home. Often I don't even know what's in there. My husband seems to.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
That pass. The point is, we all like a bit of home security. But I think we all draw the line at thinking, you know what I really need? I mean, all this security, front door, back garden, garage, forget it. I don't need my car looked after. I don't need to see whether somebody's breaking into my house. What I need is to know what's going on in that bathroom. That's where the true crimes in this world occur. I mean, literally, it's bizarre. And the only reason that you would have any kind of camera in the soap dispenser, in the guest shower, is because you want to spy on your guests, you absolute voyeur, you sexual predator. Imagine the fact that there will be people going in there and taking a shower and they don't know they're being filmed by this predator. And you have to think about who's going in that guest shower, because I bet your bottom dollar it won't be adults a lot of the time. I bet if you've got kids in the house, it's going to be kids going in the guest shower. That's why he's got that in the soap dispenser. That's why it's present. He's not videoing himself. He's probably not interested in videoing his wife. He's probably interested in actually having footage of kids who come to the home to play with the children in that house. The other camera is found in an artificial plant in their bedroom. This actually contained a transmitter. So again, why are they doing that? Yeah, you could say, well, they want to take footage of themselves. BS, absolute BS. If that is in the plan, it's because the person's not going to know that they're being filmed. Now, I'm not going to believe for one second that Cynthia is not aware that that is there. Arguably, she could say, I don't know anything about it. But personally, I think it's more that there'll be people coming into that bedroom, maybe even of their own volition, but they won't know that they're being filmed. Because you've got to remember, perpetrators and predators don't necessarily always just care about the abuse of children. It can be adults as well. And even if somebody came in, shall we say, for a threesome in a situation where they're consenting, if there's a video of them being taken and they don't know, they're not consenting to that. So arguably, even in a scenario where somebody could consent to being in a threesome with you, they're not consenting to the fact that they're being filmed. And he would like that. She would like that potentially as well as his partner, knowing that they've got the one up on the person who thinks that they're doing something that they want, but not being aware of what's happening to their body through film when they're actually engaged in those acts. Now, during Cynthia's interrogation, she was actually told that the transmitter was sending the images somewhere. And when they searched electronic devices that are located in their home residence, they actually uncovered extensive images of child pornography. It is absolutely horrifying. So around 60 images were discovered of a prepubescent female child. So that was a child under the age of 13. And these images showed that Cynthia was also involved in the horrific crimes. So they are questioning her and she's trying to act innocent. She's trying to act innocent about loads of things. She's saying that at the end of the day, yes, she has got pictures that she's taken at school that the kids aren't aware of. You know, just these pictures that have been sent to her husband through the day that the kids were completely unaware of. And that this is totally innocent. I mean, if I don't know about you guys, but if I'm not in a scenario out there just randomly taking pictures of people who don't know that I'm taking pictures of them and then sending them to her husband, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, who isn't doing that? If you're not spending at least 2/3 of the day just randomly taking pictures of people under tables and of faces when they're not even aware and then just sending them to your husband. I mean, what are you doing with your time? But she's trying to say that these are all innocent realities, but then they're turning up that she has been an active participant in the abuse. I'm going to say it now, before we get any further on. I think it is absolute BS that they are trying to paint Cynthia as some kind of victim. Genuinely. Because that's what's going to happen, guys. The woman, the abused participant in the situation who was also a victim. Nah, you don't get to play that card in my world. I have worked with children who are sexually molested. I've worked with survivors of sexual abuse as adults who've had their lives crippled because of these people. You don't get to say you're a victim when you're the perpetrator. You don't get to play that card no matter how much your family like you and how much your best friend thinks you're great. No. You're a child molester. And if the journey is, well, this guy is the perpetrator who is a bully, who's an abuser, who coerced her into doing these things. Sorry? Anybody with a shred of morality, a shred of ethics, would run as fast as possible to the authorities if they thought their partner was engaged in the sexual molestation of children. They wouldn't engage in that behaviour with them. And if we were to imagine that she has any kind of moral compass, which we will be convinced, apparently, by those who know her that she has, then that would make her worse. Because we can always believe that a psychopathic, narcissistic predator has no empathy, compassion, understanding of the pain that they cause, and is just so dominant and powerful that they do everything in their power to continue harming people because they don't conceive of the reality of its impact. If she has morals, however, if she has a shred of empathy, then she should be able to stand in a position where she imagines the pain she's causing and to do everything in her power to stop it. She doesn't. So I'm out, because there is going to be a picture painted later on that somehow Cynthia is also a victim, and she ain't getting that card here today. So in these images, where they clearly see that she is involved with Dennis, they're seen moving this sleeping child's clothing aside to expose her genitalia. They're also, as a couple, seen engaging in sexual activity whilst directly on or next to the child. How depraved, grotesque, disgusting, despicable is what I'm saying to you right now. Does that sound like somebody who's a victim? Does that sound like somebody who's being commanded to do these things? Or does that sound like a willing participant in this horrific abuse? It's clear that Cynthia and Dennis are both guilty. Now, in another image, an adult male's penis vaginally penetrates the child. Another image shows Cynthia holding the child's head in place whilst Dennis orally rapes her. I mean, they were taking footage of this. And the reason they're taking footage of it is so that they can live it again or disseminate it to other perverts, to other child predators, to other disgusting individuals who this world should wish to consume and dispose of in any and every way possible. Now, the discovery of these images obviously led to the original arrest warrant for Dennis to be revoked, and an amended warrant was made, which included the production of 60 counts of pornography of a child under 13 and also 2 counts of first-degree rape of a child under the age of 13. As the house was being searched, during that warrant being served, this is when Cynthia Perkins initially arrived. So bear in mind, she didn't know initially what was happening. She didn't realise that her husband had been caught for this. So at this point, she submits voluntarily to questioning, but you can't really do anything other. Bear in mind, the police have come to your house. They said that they've arrested your husband. They've got information pertaining to the fact that you're already somebody who they want to talk to about the child abuse because you're involved in it. She probably doesn't know at this point what hell they've got. And she's probably hoping that she's not incriminated in any way at all. So you wouldn't say, oh, I'm not going to come for questioning, because you're like, okay, I'm going to go and seem like I've got nothing to hide. But again, just like her husband, she stops responding to questions when she's confronted with the pornographic images, because that, again, makes her bang to rights. How can she get out of it? She's tried to wheedle a way out of things in so many different ways by saying that, yeah, she did send pictures home to her husband of random kids, but, you know, it was just when they were acting out. She was just having fun. It was nothing sinister. But then when they up the ante and are like, well, you have been involved, and we've got some real concerns about other things that we think you're involved in, she clams up. Cynthia was initially arrested in the couple's home. She's arrested for the production of 60 counts of pornography of a child under the age of 13, and again, 2 counts of first-degree rape of a child under the age of 13. She was taken into custody to Livingston Parish Jail, where she absolutely deserved to rot. Now, the couple were separately interviewed about a video that investigators had found, and this video is, so stomach-churning, so diabolical, that in all of the time I've covered these cases, I've never had to talk about something like this. But again, think about the mindset of this couple. Think about the secret power that they feel that they hold, the secret connection that they know goes between them and the knowledge of the world around them that compares to that, i.e. the world looks into them and sees them as a teacher and a police officer and upstanding members of the public, and yet they've got this darkness, this malevolence that connects them, both sexually, but also on a power level. The fact that they know that people don't really see who they are behind the mask, and they enjoy that. So one of the things that they do is think about ways of exerting power without those knowing that they are exerting power. That's one of the reasons why you would video people without them knowing. You are exerting power. The other person is an unsuspecting victim, but they are a victim nonetheless. And that is something that they enjoy. So they find this video where Dennis is sitting in his car, ejaculating onto a small cakes tray. So basically these petit fours, and he's masturbating and ejaculating over them. And then there's an image after this, which appears to show one of Cynthia's young students eating one of the cakes. Literally consuming one of the cakes. And it doesn't take, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes, to link the fact that the reason he's ejaculating on those cakes is because she's going to take them in for her students, they're going to eat them. And the two of those will be laughing and feeling really as if they've got one over on those students because they have fed them his sperm. Oh, honestly, what would I like to do to Dennis? Quite a few things right now. I imagine that he'd be consuming quite a lot of cake, and I may be visiting certain places to achieve some extra fillings for those cakes. I'm just saying, maybe that would be an appropriate kind of punishment for him. You know, whenever he gets fed the bread in prison, maybe he could just be a bit soggy. And I don't know. There could be a group of volunteers who wish to help make that bread soggy. Am I going too far? I'm just saying, eye for an eye and all of that. Of course, I'm not saying that you should do that. Anyway, when Dennis is asked about this particular scene, apparently he said, "Oh God," and then eventually said that nobody ate the pastries that I ejaculated on. Well, we have picture evidence of the pastries you ejaculated on, and I'm just going to throw it out there, Dennis. They look exactly the same as the actual cakes that were eaten by the students. Just going to say, is that not too much of a bridge to cross that maybe you are a sexual predator and deviant, and therefore it makes sense to us that you did have them served to the children? It makes less sense to imagine that you didn't do that. But Cynthia's also questioned about this, and she can actually be heard saying, "I'm scared." She avoided quite a lot of the questions, which... again, good, you're scared, but you're scared for yourself. You're not actually scared because of what you've done. Can we all put that into the true context it is? She's not scared for the children that she's fed these cakes. She's not scared for the kids that have been abused by her and her husband. She's scared for her own skin. She was actually asked whether she was protecting her husband. She was asked why she was protecting someone who was abusing and exploiting children. And she was asked, is that what you want to look like? Do you want your picture next to his picture on the news saying, this is his co-conspirator to exploit your children? And the truth is, yes, that's exactly where Cynthia's picture should be, because she is a co-conspirator who's exploited children. So that's where the faces should be. But I understand what the officers are doing here. The interrogators are trying to get her to see that she has an opportunity to go on their side and give evidence against her husband, or to go down the line of being considered an equal predator, even though she is an equal predator. So they are trying to get her on side to give her this chink of light in the darkness and say, listen, you don't want to be seen that badly. You tell us what you know, and we will make him out to be the worse predator in this case. It's a way of getting somebody on side to tell you what you need to know, even if that doesn't actually make a difference to their own situation when it comes down to being imprisoned. You want them to believe, look, we're on your side, we don't see you as bad as the person who seems to be responsible for this horrific abuse, even though, by the way, we've got you on video doing all those things that makes you equally as bad. But that's the game. So on the day of Cynthia's arrest, one of the things that she immediately did was resign from her teaching position. And she also, very shortly after arrest, files for divorce. Very clever. Obviously, who's defending her makes good sense of this situation. And they're like, do you want to be seen as somebody who's actually in an intimate relationship with this child abuser? Or do you want to be seen as a victim? So the easiest way forward is to show that she has no alliance, no loyalty to Dennis. And the biggest way of actually acknowledging that is to divorce him, and filing for divorce starts that process. She then, of course, as we expect, claims that Dennis had manipulated her into committing the crimes. No, he didn't. Sorry, I'm not going to let this pass. I'm not going to let this slide. No, he didn't. He didn't manipulate you into these crimes. You know, you can manipulate people into a lot of things. It was exactly the same with the Ian Watkiss case, where they tried to make out that the mothers who brought their own children to be abused by Ian Watkiss were somehow less culpable, somehow in awe of his power, in awe of his position, and therefore, you know, they were just victims to themselves. Yes, they got sentences, but nowhere near as severe as his. Throw away the key is reality. Those mothers should have had the key thrown away. you haven't seen my Ian Watkiss case, you should look it up. It's absolutely horrific. It's well worth a watch. I go through quite a lot of detail about the court and it was horrendous. But again, what are we doing? Minimising the female because she's female? It's ludicrous. The idea that women can't be predators is ludicrous. Yes, we are predators far less than men. We are serial killers far less than man, but we do it. And these individuals, when they turn up, should be given the harshest reactions and the most strong of sentences. Not be allowed to be portrayed as the innocent victim who just got manipulated into the most devious of scenarios. It's like Jeffrey Dahmer going, oh, you know what? It was somebody else who told me to do this. I didn't want to do it. It was somebody else. And that's why I did it. I'm sorry. I'm not really a serial killer. I'm just somebody who was manipulated. You know, it makes no sense. Now, in the months following their arrest, they obviously examine all the electronic devices and there's just a plethora, an absolute mountain of additional evidence against the couple. So they've got thousands of incriminating videos and photos that are actually found in the couple's home, 2,600 photos. And more than 300 videos were seized. This actually included a video of Dennis Perkins and another woman raping an unconscious female. So now we've got somebody else.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
It's brought in to this den of horror. There were also videos of Dennis Perkins having sex along the roadside with female suspects he'd just arrested. So you understand why that's playing out, because he is using his power and dominance to assert that if they have sex with him, they won't get the consequences that he's arresting them for. So a complete misuse of power. And also those women that he's having sex with by the roadside when they've been arrested, they are being coerced into this situation. They cannot consent because they're being told, if you don't do A, B is going to happen. And A might seem more immediately able to be dealt with, i.e. I just get on with it and have sex with this guy to avoid B, my arrest. But the truth is, the consequences and ramifications for those women afterwards can be harrowing. You can act in a moment of coercion in a way that you wish to do so to avoid the long-term problems that you think, in this case, being arrested may bring you. But the ramifications of having sex with somebody that you don't want to have sex with because you actually feel that you have no other choice, it's basically coercive rape. And down the line, the trauma I'm sure some of those people dealt with will have been horrific. Prosecutors said that they believe that Dennis had lots of sex with women by blackmailing them under the threats that he would make life very difficult for them if they refused. And that is absolutely horrific to even conceive of. Now, the authorities actually refuse to elaborate on the victims, but when they're talking about the child ones, they said that there were numerous children at the centre of the case. So we're not talking about one individual, although that would be enough. We're talking about numerous children who'd been affected. And one of the prosecutors has actually said that it was the worst evidence he'd personally ever seen, and that it would be a really disturbing trial for victims and the jurors. I mean, it always is. Whenever you go to a sexual abuse trial, and I have been to many because of the work that I've done in the past, and I've been involved with victims, therefore I've wanted to turn up to make sure that they felt that they were supported. It is not nice to watch those things play out, particularly when somebody has put in a scenario where they said they're not guilty, because essentially the family and the victim has to go through everything, including watching very traumatic footage and very traumatic details being discussed, and that re-traumatizes. So understandably, when you're coming at something cold like a jury, that's difficult enough because you're having to see things you've never wanted to see, and you have to take that traumatic material with you in your head for the rest of your lives. But when you were a victim, or you're a member of a family affected by what's happened to a victim, you are re-traumatized because you've lived it and now you're living it again. But that's what's being said, that this case is one of the worst that's been seen. Now, the couple are obviously accused of offences including allegations of rape, attempted rape, sexual battery, video voyeurism, and the production of child pornography. This is over a period of several months, and it's over a period of 7 months in 2019. Now, the bulk of the charges, they did actually involve a child younger than 13. It hasn't been disclosed the nature of the relationship or how the couple knew the child involved. I'm sure we can all imagine the kind of people they had access more prevalently. So the children that they would have access to are going to be children within, shall we say, their close network, I would imagine. And certainly the evidence statistically, when you look at child abuse cases, would mirror what I've just said. Dennis Perkins is also accused of ejaculating on those pastries, also into bottles of energy drinks that were then ingested by unsuspecting victims. And on top of all of those harrowing charges, according to documents sometime between the June the 1st and the 19th of 2019, Dennis Perkins also engaged in sexual contact with a dog. With a dog. Just throwing a bit of bestiality there. Why not, Dennis? You are the most depraved kind of human being that walks this planet, so why not get a dog involved as well? I hope that dog is getting some kind of therapeutic intervention, or at least is with a loving and stable home that can help them manage the trauma of somebody like Dennis violating them. He even filmed that act. So this guy is the lowest of the... This is the kind of human being that can never walk the streets again. This is really the kind of human being that no other human being is safe around, whether you're a man, a woman, a child, or an animal. You know, he has no boundaries whatsoever. It's all about power and domination. Now, in December 2019, the court papers, which had been filed, they basically outlined the initial specific charges against the couple. So Dennis Perkins, at this point, is charged with 78 felony counts. These charges dated back to 2014, but obviously they'll have been way before that, but they're going to 2014. We have to remember that just because somebody is being charged with felonies that are only from 2014, the idea that he wouldn't have been engaged in these kind of things before, it just makes no sense. These are what he's being charged with. The allegations involve two non-consenting adults, two juveniles, various unsuspecting victims by means of ingesting harmful substances, and a dog. Cynthia Perkins, well, she doesn't fare very better. She faces 72 charges, so she's got a huge amount. And understandably, the pair were both held without bond because when people like this are walking the streets, no one is safe. Now, the sheriff of Livingston Parish, that was Jason Ard, that was Dennis Perkins' boss. Let's just say a bit of controversy going on, and you'd understand why, because this kind of predator, they're not very good at hiding themselves. They've been doing it for a long time. They think they can get away with everything. So they're often, shall we say, less careful about their actions. And they cause problems a lot of times that other people will be speaking out about. And that's what had happened. Because Dennis Perkins had been a problem. So there'd been quite a few previous complaints about Perkins. And the sheriff was questioned as to whether he'd actually responded appropriately to any of these complaints. So in 2013, there's a Baton Rouge police officer, a guy called Lieutenant Todd Webb. He speaks to the sheriff because he's really concerned about Dennis Perkins, the way he is in particular around his actual juvenile stepdaughter. So in 2014, Todd Webb is looking at the way that Dennis Perkins is with his own stepdaughter, and he's concerned. He's like, there's something not right about him. So his stepdaughter basically goes for a sleepover at Dennis Perkins' house, and sometime in the night, this pervert climbs into bed with her and climbs into bed with another child. And we all know it's sleepovers, don't we? You often share beds with your mates. So he gets into bed with them, totally out of order. And I tell you what, I'm sure a lot of you agree with this, but in my own household, if my husband or I had found out that a father of a child at another household had got into bed in the middle of the night with my child, well, he better be able to run fast. Honestly, and I mean that without any excuse, he better be able to run fast. You come and violate my child in any way in an intimate space like that, you are going to be in serious trouble. And if the law ain't going to deal with it, we'll deal with it. And I'm sure that that's something that you will mirror, because how dare he get into that intimate space? And we all know that if he's doing that, there's a reason why he's doing that. And it's not because he cares deeply about the children that he's getting into bed with. It's because he's thinking about doing something that's outrageous. Also, other inappropriate behaviour around that girl. He chased her. He held her down. He'd play, quote, tickle monster. Tickle monster is something you play with preschool children or young primary school children. You know, you hold them down, you tickle them. They're your kids, or they're a close connection to you, and there's a consent level there. A consent level is really important. She wasn't consenting. She felt really disturbed by this. She didn't like it. She has, fortunately, a very good relationship with her stepfather and mother, and actually conveys the information that she feels very unhappy about what's happened. She thinks it's weird. She's a kid, but she's clever, and she knows this guy is not right. Now, he goes, and he bravely speaks to the sheriff about this, and the sheriff rebuffed his complaint, and no written complaints filed. So, basically, the sheriff says, oh, you know what? It's a tickling incident. It doesn't violate the law. Okay, it doesn't violate the law. Well, if you're just going to... It's like me coming and saying, I've got a complaint. Yeah? What's your complaint? Well, I'm really concerned because this guy got into a situation where he broke into my car and he tried to steal my purse. And also, when he did that, he tickled me under my chin. Well, I'm sorry, I can't file a complaint over that. Tickling somebody under the chin isn't actually a violation of the law. But he broke into my car, he smashed the window, he stole my purse. You just said he tickled you under the chin. As an afterthought, he tickled me under the chin. Well, I can't file any complaint because he tickled you under the chin. But I'm he just tickled you under the chin. That's all I'm writing. In fact, I'm not writing it. I'm not even going to write it down. Just go away. Genuinely, how can you not hear what is being said when he's saying this man got into bed with my stepdaughter uninvited? Add that to the tickling, we have a real issue. But no, just brush it under the carpet. But it gets worse, guys. And I mean, it really does get worse as regards how this absolute predator ever got into the police force, because it's found that when Dennis Perkins was hired by the police force in 2002, he was considered a, quote, high risk hire. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? What kind of police officer do you want? I want a high risk one. I want a high risk one. Do you mean somebody who's willing to take high risks? No, I mean one who is a high risk. Like when you think about people that may be a risk, he's a high risk, not even a low risk. He's a high risk person, as in probably quite dangerous. We shouldn't employ him. I know, so we're definitely going to employ him. I kid you not. So, where to start? Well, first of all, it turns out they did this polygraph test that was administered to him before his employment. And Dennis doesn't feel that he needs to hide behind lies, unlike in his current interrogation for the child molestation. No, at this point, he's kind of okay with it. He's like, you know what? I may as well just be honest with you guys. At the end of the day, I don't want to fail my polygraph test, so I may as well just like be cards on the table, the kind of human being I am. So this is what he says. He said, and this is when he's applying to be a Baton Rouge police officer in 1998, that, well, he'd been involved in, quote, a slew of crimes. Wait a minute. Let's just take a breath. Let's just take a breath, Emma. Did you just say that as he's applying to be a police officer, he admits to a slew of crimes? That's exactly what I'm saying. He admitted to a slew of crimes. So let's just go through some of those crimes. Prostitution, just that bit of prostitution there. He also suggested that he'd had sex with an underage girl, that he'd exposed himself in public. You know, just a bit of exposing myself. I've just been out there exposing myself in the public. If I'm not out there, on a Thursday and Sunday doing a bit of exposing of my genitals to the public, then what am I doing with my week? He said that he had paid for sex, also peeked in a window to see a naked female. That's right, just a little bit of sexual predator voyeurism with unsuspecting females. And he allegedly told the woman interviewing him that he'd actually paid for sex just 3 weeks prior. I mean, you got to give it to him. Back then, Dennis Perkins was, if anything, a little bit too honest. But understandably, the woman who is dealing with this is like, how shall we consider this individual for a job? Should we? What shall I write about him? And she wrote, definitely not hire, at the bottom of her official interview board assessment. And all six of the other members of the board also recommended that Perkins not be hired for the job, which makes absolute sense, doesn't it? Because at the end of the day, no one should want that person involved or employed. And because I really want to hammer home to you just how ridiculous it is that this individual ever got to be a police officer, I'm going to go through exactly what he answered. So in a portion of the Baton Rouge Police Department application, he's asked to answer a series of questions about any prior criminal activity he's taken part in. And in his handwritten explanations to the criminal activity, Perkins offered the following explanations. Are you ready? Just take a breath, guys. Take a breath. Because I cannot believe we're talking about somebody who got the job in the end as a police officer. So he said, while 18, I had sex with a girl, later to find that she was 13. Now, I get it. You see young girls who look older, but we are not going to have this conversation about a 13-year-old girl seemingly looking over 18. It's just not the way it is. 13-year-old girls are not that developed. 13-year-old girls do not act 18. 13-year-old girls were at primary school a couple of years earlier. They still believed in Father Christmas. So, no, he knew that she was underage. He just wants to minimise his guilt. He said, at Mardi Gras, I showed my penis for some beads. Now, I do appreciate that Mardi Gras in America is a place where, shall we say, a lot of ladies like to show their breasts and they're given beads. I don't get it. I've never even gone topless at a beach. And these days, you would clear the beach if I were to do that. But the point is, I do appreciate that there is some kind of sexual overt behaviour at Mardi Gras. But again, saying I showed my penis for some beads, this is a guy who likes to go out and expose himself. He's probably considering the fact that if he's getting asked questions like this on a polygraph, he needs to admit that he has actually exposed himself, and this minimises it and gives it some kind of licence for happening. He also said, once I paid for oral sex, once I paid for intercourse. In high school, myself and another ganged up to fight some black guys, but never fought them. Once, I made up a credit card number just to see if it would work online. By the way, that means he got involved in credit card fraud. He's just saying that some kind of mythical thing happened and, oh, look at that. Oh, I've made up this credit card number online. Oh, now I'm shopping. Wow, how amazing that it worked. I mean, come on. Absolutely ludicrous. He also said, on a few occasions, I peeked through the window of my sister-in-law's window. Yes, you heard that right. Sister-in-law's window. No boundaries on any level, literally looking at his brother's partner and hoping that he would see her in a position of undress. He actually said, to get a peek while she was naked. Also said, once I sent some nude pictures of a girl online to a website, but they were never posted. So I went ahead and sent some naked pictures of a girl who didn't know that I was sending them to a website, but they never actually got posted. So am I really guilty? Yes, you are guilty. And a member of the BRPD board that interviewed Perkins said that when she questioned him about the sexual misconduct and credit card incident, his mindset was, well, you know, if you get away with it, if you don't get caught, then it's okay. So absolutely warped mindset all the way back then, and yet still, he manages to fly up the ranks as a deputy in the department. Now, at the time, the then deputy, Jason Ard, actually, in spite of all of this, vouched for Perkins, calling him of a good character and saying they'd make an excellent employee. And he actually served as a character witness. Sorry? He said he's a sexual predator, a fraudster, an individual who has very few moral compasses in his world, and has actually been suggested by the board that is completely unfit and high risk and therefore should not be employed. Yeah, you should definitely employ him. Why? Because he's got good character. Didn't I just say all those things that suggest he has a bad character? But I'm saying he has good character. And because I'm more important than you in employing these kind of people, we should definitely go ahead and employ him. I don't think you should be in the job that you're in. Well, you'd be happy to know that I probably won't be for very long after all this comes out. Seriously, it's ludicrous that Jason R can just be like, ah, he's a great guy, pat him on the back, it's fine, and that he gets a job. Also, it's uncovered that in 2011, a woman actually filed a restraining order against Perkins, and this restraining order was received by Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office and served by their own deputies. But it's not an issue. Just a few. Listen, who isn't a police officer unless they've got a restraining order against them? Who hasn't been out there having sex with prostitutes, arresting people and making them have sex with you? Who hasn't been the kind of person to expose themselves and spy on the sister-in-law? If you're not doing that, what are you doing? Seriously. It comes to them, it still isn't enough to make them think this guy shouldn't be in the job he's in. Now, following Perkins' arrest, Sheriff Ard actually said that he condemned Perkins' alleged actions and he also called him a friend and a family member. Again, I'm deeply confused about who Ard is. At the end of the day, are you saying that you condemn him? I am saying I condemn him. Are you actually saying you condemn him? I condemn him. Why do you condemn him? He is a bad person for these crimes. Do you consider him a friend? I consider him a friend and a family member. Even though you condemn him, I do condemn him, but not enough to not make him a friend and a family member.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
I don't know where that accent was from. Excuse me for that. It certainly wasn't from Baton Rouge. Now, the school district, they actually said that on their files, they didn't actually have any documented complaints against Cynthia Perkins. The district spokesperson said that the school were really doing a deep dive. They were cooperating with the investigation. We have to remember she did move quite a lot. So arguably it could be that complaints and red flags were happening, but not to the degree where it was causing them to file anything because she was moving on so regularly. Now, as I noted earlier on, there was another woman that was found in the footage. So she was arrested in connection with Dennis Perkins, a girl called Melanie Curtin. She was actually an ex-lover of Dennis Perkins, and she allegedly helped Dennis Perkins rape and film a woman who was unconscious in 2014. Now, during the trial, the victim, who was the person who was unconscious in that video, said, "When I saw parts of that video, I wanted to literally die." I mean, she was unconscious at the time, but the reflective reality of being a victim of a traumatic event like this, it demonstrates just how devastating and unstabilizing it is. It really is, because she was in a scenario where she had no idea it played out. And yet, ultimately, she's now watching herself on tape. She'd been violated, not just once in the situation that she'd been horrifically raped, but twice in the fact that this video has been made of her. The victim said that she'd been drinking with Dennis and Melanie when the attack actually took place. And the person who was involved in this attack was found guilty of aggravated rape and video voyeurism in relation to this 2014 incident in December 2021. So in March 2022, Melanie was actually sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. However, her conviction has since been thrown out by the Louisiana First Circuit. They said, in light of its unique facts, we conclude that justice will only be served if the defendant is granted a new trial where a new jury will have the benefit of all the evidence. It is the paramount objective of upholding the integrity of our judicial system that dictates this result. So essentially, the convictions and sentences have been vacated and she's been remanded for a new trial. And it was determined that the court improperly admitted evidence that unfairly prejudiced the defendant. The court said that the evidence was not presented that could have helped defend Curtin. So that case is going to be sent back to the lower court to be retried. And the Attorney General's office will appeal the decision to the Louisiana Supreme Court. So as of October 2023, Melanie Curtin has been released on bond while she awaits her new trial. The bond was set at $350,000. It is actually required, though, that she wears a GPS ankle monitor so they know where she is. But they obviously don't see her as a level of threat that we're considering when we look at somebody like Dennis and Cynthia. Now, in February 2022, Dennis's now ex-wife, of course, played the ex-wife card. 37-year-old Cynthia pled guilty to reduced charges. Now, of course, we know why she's going to plead guilty to reduced charges. It's because she wants a lesser sentence and she's going to give evidence against him. She's going to act for the state, isn't she? So she pled guilty to one count each of producing child pornography, second degree rape, and mingling harmful substances. Cynthia, at this point, agreed to certain facts in the case, such as she assisted her husband in the sexual assault of a juvenile, that she helped him film a juvenile whilst bathing. She was lacing desserts with his semen before giving them to school-aged children. And she, of course, is playing the "I didn't really want to do it" card. You're not telling me that she was so coerced and such a victim that she had to take those cakes to the school and feed them to the kids. Listen, you know what I suggest, Cynthia? Just pop yourself past the office of the person in charge of the school and go, "My deprived husband is actually making me bring in cakes laced with semen. Can you please help me?" Just throwing it out there. But of course, she goes ahead and tries to play this card, and she issues this lengthy apology to the victims and her friends and family. Now, bear in mind, she was originally facing 72 charges. So just as the jury selection slated to begin at this point, with all of those charges that are clearly going to have a bang to write, she goes ahead and takes a plea deal. That was on February the 14th, 2022. So now it's going to be about the sentencing. But she brings in people who speak out for her. And she speaks out initially for herself. So let's just go through what Cynthia Perkins says. Bearing in mind, she had 72 charges against her. She made kids ingest his bodily fluids. She was involved actively in the rape of children. And she was massively involved in creating child pornography. And this is what she says. "I just want to apologise. I want to tell you I'm sorry. I want to tell the entire parish of Livingston Parish I'm sorry. I want to tell my friends, my co-workers, I'm sorry. I want to tell my family, my mum and my dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't come to y'all. I'm sorry to my brother and my sister-in-law. I love you. Of course, I want to apologise to the victims. I want to apologise to my students and everyone I ever taught because they now have to worry about what happened. I would also like to apologise to my three children. I've not spoken to them in years. I can't imagine the hurt they feel. And the last person that I would like to apologise to is the father of my children, my soulmate. I'm so sorry that you're having to raise our children on your own. It's not fair to you. You don't deserve this, and I'm sorry. And honestly, there is nothing else to say at this point other than I am so sorry. How about I'm a hideous human being? How about I'm disgusting? When I look at my crimes, I realise that I deserve to go to hell. And I'm hoping that there is a elevator that is going to be able to take me straight down now, ultimately, to serve out eternity, being dealt the actual deserving punishment that I have absolutely earned. How about that? But just repeating the word sorry, 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 sorry. And also saying that the ex is actually her soulmate. What? Your ex is your soulmate? How come that was your soulmate when you ended up with a child abusing predator that you engaged with? How was your soulmate the father of your other children? No, what he was a good human being who didn't allow you to activate the true predator within you and allow you to continue acting in a way to the children that you could have harmed as you did to the children that you did harm. You know, at the end of the day, we are meant to believe that her saying sorry is enough. Now, the father of one of the juvenile victims read a note from the child and that said, "My life is so much better. I remember every time you hurt me and how scared I was to talk to you. I think of what my life would have been like with you still in it. You're a horrible and manipulating person. You're a selfish and horrible person. I hope you're ashamed of yourself and you rot in prison. I wrote this so you know you didn't break me down. You don't deserve to be a mom or ever be free. You will forever be known as the person who hurt me." And that's exactly what Cynthia should be made to listen to again and again and again on loop. The stepmother of one of the victims spoke as well. She said, "This abusive behaviour began long before she met Dennis. These two people met each other." Powerful. That's exactly where I am. That's the team I am on. That these two individuals are a foliager maybe in the fact that they escalated and amplified their crimes, but they had it in them all the way through. Cynthia Perkins' mother and father, they also spoke. Now, don't get me wrong, anybody who's related to this horrific human being is also a victim. And I also understand the bias of love. I understand that we want to see the best in people, even when it is obvious that they have betrayed that best a million times. But I understand and I empathise with the family members who still want to believe in her. They said, "My deepest apologies to all the victims in this case. We, as the defendant's parents, do not condone any of these acts of violence against the victims. And we are also very sorry and apologetic to the child victim, the students and the staff of Westside and really the entire parish of Livingston Parish. I don't think there's ever been any question of the guilt of Cynthia, but we've always said it was done under distress. When she had kids, her kids became her life, but all of a sudden she dropped off the face of the earth. She married Dennis and we stopped hearing from her. We also found out that Dennis physically abused her and that Cynthia was scared of Dennis. The whole time they were together, we only saw Danny 4 to 5 times. I remember him bragging about all this law enforcement connections. Later, I realised he was planting the seed in Cynthia's mind. I'm so sorry for all the victims. The primary victim is a member of our family who we love very much. I apologise to all the victims. I pray for their healing. Sorry to Judge Sledge. I'm sorry to even the prosecution that had to even look at this filth. You shouldn't have to look at those things. I'm even sorry to the defence team that they had to view this garbage. Especially sorry to the child victim number one, whom we love dearly. My prayers are that everyone can move forward and we can all begin healing. As a society, we are expected to protect our children. Her father said, "I never taught her how to fight or use a gun. I never thought she would need those things. Instead, she found herself in an abusive relationship with a SWAT leader with nowhere to turn. She had nowhere to turn. This should be mitigating factors when sentencing her. It doesn't excuse the crime, but I do think this needs to be factored in. When she's sentenced today, her whole family will be sentenced. Some will say justice was served, but true justice is served when it's not made with anger or rage, but with all the evidence and when a balanced and just decision is made. I'm truly sorry to everyone who had to listen to these horrible crimes and much less view the evidence. My prayer is we can begin the healing process." Her mother then stepped up to the podium, who'd been crying whilst her father had been giving this testimony. And also Cynthia Perkins was holding back tears while she was in the courtroom. And she said, as a mother, "You may think you know Cynthia Perkins, but you don't know our Cynthia. Our Cynthia is a caring and loving person that is loved by all that know her. Why have we loved and supported her through all this? Because our Cynthia would never have done what all has come up. She was mentally and physically controlled by Dennis Perkins. I just ask that you see my Cynthia from my eyes, from my heart, and know that she's not the person that she's been made out to be. I love her and I always will love her and support her and believe in her." I get it. I get what the mother and father said. They're wrong, but I get it. I've total empathy and sympathy with them, but they're wrong. Their bias, their love, their experience, their memories, it clouds the reality. She's guilty. She was not forced to abuse a child that apparently they all love. She did it of her own volition. She did it because she wanted to. She did it because she got sick pleasure from it. Somebody can look like peaches and cream on the surface and be deviant and dark and broken inside. We see it time and time and time again. We see it in positions of power, like scout leaders, youth workers, teachers, the priesthood. We see it everywhere. People who smile, seem so friendly, so kind, who are absolutely capable of grooming people to do what they bid because they are so lovely and everyone likes them. It's part of their MO. It's how you bring and reel in your victims. You can't bring and reel in victims if you appear like a terrifying, scary human being that no one wants to be around. Quite the contrary. She was a smiling assassin, and that lay within her, no matter how much you love her, no matter how much you think you know her. You don't know her. The very fact that you're saying that she's so different to the truth that we see in court shows you don't know her. She betrayed you as she betrayed those children, and she will continue to betray you as long as you fail to hold her truly accountable and responsible for the heinous crimes that she committed of her own volition. But in spite of the parents saying this and many people coming forward to write nice things about Cynthia, Judge Sledge closed out by telling both the families, "I understand that Mrs. Perkins will always be your child. And I understand this is difficult for you. I can't imagine what this whole process has been like for you. I hope for the juvenile victims, this has given her some sense of closure." So even though they're acknowledging as a judge that this is difficult for the family, they're bringing it back to what matters. The victim. The victims. It's not about Cynthia. It's not about, I'm a victim too. It's like, no. You're a perpetrator. You're a predator. You're a criminal. Let's bring it back into sharp focus. Who counts here? The victim. When it came to Cynthia Perkins' actual sentencing, well, she got credit for time served. So she was arrested in late 2019, and that means she served nearly 2.5 years of a sentence, and she was given a 41-year sentence. So she's going to be an old lady if she ever gets out of prison. I also think it's important to note that a child of Cynthia from a previous marriage actually described Cynthia as a horrible and manipulative mum. They said, "My life is so much better without you." I mean, the family suggesting that she was some lovely person is completely disagreed with by those who were intimately close to her, one of being her own child. I don't think that she is anything but a culpable party to this crime. I think she deserves to rot in hell. I genuinely do. So because she's agreed a plea deal, we then get to the trial of Dennis Perkins. But understandably, he knows at this point he's absolutely banged to right. They've got a plethora of evidence against him and they've got somebody testifying against him. So on Tuesday, the 3rd of January, 2023, a 47-year-old Dennis Perkins pled guilty to the charges in Livingston State Court. Pled guilty to second-degree rape, sexual battery of a child under the age of 18, sexual battery of a child under the age of 13, video voyeurism, mingling of harmful substances, and two counts of producing child pornography. Dennis briefly addressed the judge. He agreed the plea deal at this point. And if ever one should be able to throw the book at him, and I mean everybody in the courtroom, literally, throw the book of him. Gideon Bibles, they were left in all hotels, weren't they? They're not that big, but with enough of them, it would have an impact. You know, maybe just use those. Everyone can get hold of them quite quickly. Pop down to your local travel edge or motel. It's as simple as that. Grab a Gideon Bible, pop into the court and throw it at Dennis. But basically, this is what he says. And this is why I think you should be able to throw these books at him. He said, "I wish there were things that would have come to light in pre-trial motions that would have helped me in this case. I just think we ran out of time. Can somebody please get the cattle prod? Honestly, or a little pokey thing, some kind of pokey machine. Because how is he even allowed to see this?" But that's what he's saying. So the judge then asks whether the statement meant that he still wanted to go forward with the plea agreement, because obviously he's like, well, you know, I think things could have been very different if we'd had more time. So are you saying that we haven't got all the evidence? I'm not saying you haven't got all the evidence. I'm just saying I think things could have been different if I'd had more time. But we've still got all of the data that incriminates you, and we've got somebody testifying against you, and we've got like so much mounted evidence that you're screwed. I know that you're saying that, but I'm just saying it could have been different if we had been in a different time. Do you mean like in a different dimension? I'm probably rooting for that. Yeah, a different dimension when all of this happened. Clearly, when asked that, there is no extra material. Otherwise, it would have been brought in. And there's no story that can be fabricated or friend that he can call that's going to diminish the guilt. But this is how he starts it. So we already know this guy is not pleading guilty, really. He's not saying he's accountable. He's not saying he's responsible. He's just saying, well, it would be very different if some kind of magical extra time had come in when all of this had happened. Now, the state prosecutors, of course, stuck to this deal because they didn't want him to have a trial and they knew that he was going to get guilty, whatever. And bear in mind that if that trial had gone ahead, the young victim would have actually had to testify about the trauma. And the prosecutors actually met with each victim in the case to get a blessing to go forward with the plea deal. So obviously they didn't want them to not have the opportunity for a trial, but they wanted to know that if they were going to go with the plea deal, each of the people who was a victim in this case would feel that that was a valid course to run. Because some people don't necessarily want to agree a deal. Sometimes they just want to say, no, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's have this deviant heard in court and let's hope that he gets an even more serious sentence. But in this case, the sentence is going to be so severe, I agree, that it would make sense for the victims to just say, I just want to let this go. I don't want to have to deal with the horrific trauma of being involved in the case. I just want to have him banged up and left there to rot. So each of the victims had been walked through the nuances of what the deal entailed, and apparently all of the victims were actually very satisfied with the deal agreement. So as part of the deal, all the remaining charges were dismissed. Now that can be galling because you want the very sternest of realities to apply to somebody like Dennis. But equally, if you find out that he was going to receive a 100-year sentence, you know he ain't going nowhere. So for him pleading guilty, he was going to receive a 100-year sentence, which means that they're not going to have to go through the horror and they know he's never going to walk the streets again.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Win. They don't win in the context of the fact that they had these horrible experiences. That's terrible. That's a loss. But they win in knowing that he will never, ever have freedom. Now, as part of the plea deal, he won't be eligible for appeal, he won't be eligible for probation, he won't be eligible for parole. It's done. He'll spend the rest of his natural life in prison. Now, the Assistant Attorney General said that no one has to worry about Dennis Perkins hurting anyone ever again. Apparently, Perkins cried at times during the hearing. Oh, did you, Dennis? Did you cry? You weren't crying for the victims, were you, Dennis? Neither was Cynthia. You were crying for yourselves because you are that selfish and egocentric. The only feelings you ever have is about you. Now, several family members of his victims were sat in court as he pled guilty. And during the hearing, a victim impact statement was given. And the female victim actually took the stand. And she questioned, rightly so, whether Dennis cared about anyone besides himself. She said he was sick, deplorable, that his actions were horrific. She said that she hoped Dennis would spend every day worrying about his own safety. She said, you will no longer have control over your victims anymore. She said, I'm so thankful I don't have to sit in this courtroom with you or your attorney again. Have a nice life in prison. Amen, sister. Amen. Now, following his guilty plea, he addressed the court. And of course, like Cynthia, he apologised to his community, his victims, his family. But then he says, I would like to say I'm sorry. I spent more than 3 years living in a box. It's not about me. I just want to make this statement. Jesus Christ has forgiven me. I'm grateful for that. I hope and pray that anybody that this has affected would also find forgiveness and healing through Jesus Christ. Oh, do one, you absolute narcissist. Let's just run through that. So he was like, I'm just going to stand up now and give like my personal impact statement. Okay, so it's going to be one where you're really accountable and responsible for these horrific crimes. Yeah. I mean, you know, well, that's for JC to really deal with. Sorry? Yeah, the big JC, like Jesus Christ. Okay, but we're not dealing with Jesus Christ right now. We're dealing with the courtroom. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say it once. Guys, I'm sorry. Like, everyone. Like, all of you. You know, community, people, victim, whatever. And the reason for that is because I've been in a box 3 years. So I just want you to all know that whilst you've all been free, I've been in a box because you put me there. So at the end of the day, who's a victim? Is it you? Is it you guys? Or is it me? Because I've been in a box because you put me there. And also, you know, get over it. Just get over all of my abuse. Get over the crimes. Because at the end of the day, like, JC, the big Jesus Christ, the big G-O-D, etc., forgiven me, totally exonerated. And, like, just hope that you can find it in your hearts to do the same for yourselves. Because, like, I don't need you to forgive me. Because, like, the big JC forgave me. So, you've been keeping me in a box. He's totally forgiven me. Maybe if we'd had more time, you'd all realise that and I could go home. Honestly. Again, pokey machine. Pokey machine, probably with an electric current. Not saying fatal. I'm not saying fatal. Just a pokey machine with an electric current. Semi-fatal. It hurts. That's all I'm saying. But apparently, Jesus Christ has forgiven me for that. And also, he's really grateful that Jesus Christ has forgiven him. Because I don't know whether you realise, but Dennis isn't your ordinary perpetrator. No, Dennis has got the big old telephone connection with the big JC, who's been like, hi? Yeah, hi, JC, it's Dennis. Which Dennis? Oh, like Dennis, you know, the one with like hundreds of allegations and also substantiated claims against him as a child rapist and serious perpetrator and just all-round horrible guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, I heard about you. You're with that Cynthia who's also pretending that she's a victim. Well, I mean, I have been in a box for 3 years. Yeah, I'm not that convinced about the fact that it's a jail cell, isn't it? Some would say it was a jail cell. Others would say it was a box, you know, people who don't want to be accountable, etc. Anyway, I'm just ringing to say, am I forgiven? Because I think I should be forgiven. No. I'm just going to hear that as a yes. I specifically said no, you're not forgiven. I'm going to hear it as a yes. It's a no. Hi, is that the big devil? Yeah, that's the devil. If I sell my soul to you, will you forgive me? Yeah, totally, just sign up for that one. Okay, I'm going to sign up for it. I can say that you've forgiven me. You're forgiven. Brilliant. You're going to burn in hell for eternity. And we've got a lot of pokey electrical things here. Sorry, I've gone into my fantasy again. Apologies. I'm just saying, I don't think that JC would be totally okay with forgiving him. I know that some of you will be like, Emma, if you really mean it, you're forgiven. I don't think that JC gets that memo. I just think that a bit of the Old Testament judgment comes in, right? I get it. Studied theology. It was a big part of my life for a while. I get the Old Testament. I get the New Testament. I know that the whole New Testament's much more loving and caring, but let's be honest, the Old Testament's fire and damnation. And I just think that he fits more into the fire and damnation side. So Dennis Perkins gets this 100-year police sentence. He's going to spend the rest of his pathetic, thankless life in prison, and he's going to hate it because you don't want to be an ex-copper in prison for sex crimes. There's lower than low, there's the lowest of the low, and then there's Dennis Perkins. Also, he's required to sign the register as a sex offender for life. Of course he is. And following the plea deal, Livingston Parish Sheriff Jason Ard said in a written statement that the office continues to pray for those who were affected by Perkins' crimes. He said, my goal has been and will always be to protect victims' rights and privacy. Ard said, we all work diligently to help maintain the integrity of the case in order to secure a successful prosecution and to provide closure for the victims. We cooperated fully and are glad to see justice prevail. Did you? Did you? Didn't you get complaints about him being a sexual predator and you were just like, oh, it's only tickling? Didn't you say when talking about him that even though he was a predator, he was still a friend? He's still a friend and actually a family member as far as you were concerned. Weren't you the person who literally, when they said he was a high-risk employee and that shouldn't be employed at all, were like, I vouch for him? Just throwing it out there. You don't really sound like you believe what you're saying. And can you stop bringing Jesus Christ into it? He doesn't care about your prayers. It won't surprise you to hear that several lawsuits have emerged as a result of the Perkins crimes. It was alleged that one of the dads of one of the children who ate the cakes, Dennis, had allegedly ejaculated on, has fallen into a deep depression, currently can't find work anymore. Another claimed that a child and a parent have suffered with a mental health and couldn't sleep. In another lawsuit, students' parents alleged that Cynthia showed their daughter inappropriate images and also photographed and filmed the child. Now, all four of those lawsuits were filed separately and accused the Livingston Parish School Board of negligence. So, in spite of the school saying that they think they did their best, obviously, those who've been affected by these crimes really don't agree. I'd love to know your thoughts on this case. I genuinely cannot bear child abusers or child murderers, as you know. But the fact that they're painting Cynthia as a victim and Dennis as the main predator blows my mind. They are guilty as hell, both of them. She deserves to be in prison for 100 years, as does he. They deserve to be carried out in a box and they deserve to immediately be evacuated from that situation into the fiery pit of hell. Honestly, ideally being chased by metal proddy things. That's what I'm saying. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.